just to point out that these were not fanatics. These were not men who had some ideal in life that they were pushing some opinion of their own to push themselves into prominence. Nor were these monks who went off into an ascetic setting to some in order to concentrate and beat themselves into something. This is not what we have here. These are men who had been directly affected by Christ, and they gave all up in order to follow him, but not only to follow him, but to make him known that he's the only way, the only answer to man's abnormal condition.
It's helpful to understand what that term means, because if I can understand it, then it will help us to understand what is it referring to. The reference we are talking about is in the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. That term, turning thing upside down, is really have a similar word used in relationship to the power of the Spirit of God. That it was a display, and that word power, where we get the word dynamite, which is dynamis. So all what it was in the book of Acts, that these disciples were displaying the power of the Spirit of God and its dynamite effect that will turn things upside down, or it will bring change, complete change. And that's what they were doing in the book of Acts, chapter 17. They were demonstrating the power, the dynamis, the dynamite that the Spirit of God can bring forth through men as they present the gospel.
Maybe we could turn to the Gospel of John chapter 1 again. Because as we were speaking, as we were listening, there was a couple, there's certainly a lot of differences that we could point out between a Philip and an Andrew. But I think there are some things that are actually common or similar that we find in both of them. And I just started to jot down a couple of the things that, as we were listening, that I thought were common amongst them. Both individuals said, "We have found." They were seeking. We read in, I think it's in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, where Anna says that there are those that were looking for the redemption. There were those that were waiting for the Messiah. And if we think about what types of individuals the Lord can use, I think one of those are individuals that are seeking the Lord. They were looking for him. And the Lord was looking for them. So when you have individuals that are seeking after the Lord, we live in a world that there are people seeking for answers to many of life's problems. And we rub elbows with these individuals every day. But these two, when they found him, they said, "We have found him." That means they were looking for him. Another thing that came to mind is they were familiar with the scriptures. Andrew said, of whom the law and the prophets spoke of. They were familiar with the scriptures. They knew what to look for. And when they found them, they said, "This is consistent with what the scripture says." And I wonder, are those characteristics that would be found in us, that are we seeking after the Lord? I jot down a couple of verses here that I just want to very read quickly. The Lord told Jeremiah, "You shall seek me, and you shall find me when you search with your whole heart." And David told Solomon similar things. Seek the Lord, and he will be found. And are we seeking the Lord? Are we looking for opportunities to be used by him? Are we familiar with his word? These individuals knew the word of God. So did the Pharisees. But these individuals knew that what was before them was the one that their heart was seeking after.
So David, in verse 35, it mentions two disciples of John the Baptist, and I think those are both Andrew and Philip as you read through the chapter. If somebody can correct if that's
Andrew and John.
Okay. Well, then, for the comment on Andrew, he was seeking, and he was in the right place. I wonder if he knew the scripture from Malachi, that there was going to be one coming that would show forth the Lord Jesus, that would be the one to lead the way to the Lord Jesus. So you're not going to find the Lord Jesus at Applebee's. You're not going to find him at any other place. But Matthew tells us where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. So we need to go where people are gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus to find the Lord Jesus.
Though it's Andrew and John, apparently, I'm sort of wondering also if you don't get how the disciples are quickly becoming like their master. Because Philip, when speaking to Nathanael, says, come and see. That's the expression that the master had just used to the two disciples, Andrew and John. Come and see. So Philip is immediately taking on formation in relation to Christ. You want to know about him, Nathanael? I'm not going to tell you anything. I can't tell you anything. I've got little. But you know what? Come and see.
And I think it was mentioned by our brother Samahan, Emil, that these two were, it was kind of alluded to, and I kind of summarized it by saying, these two were interested in seeking the glory of the Lord. When Philip went to Nathanael, as was mentioned, he didn't get into a long debate and argument with him. He just said, come and see. He could have sat there and got into a debate, but he said, rather than me, you know, he was more concerned about winning a soul than winning an argument. And I think sometimes when we're witnessing to people, or we're talking to people, our pride gets in and we want to make sure we get our points across and I'm right, and this person's wrong, and I'm more concerned about, you know, for my own self-pride, thinking that I won the argument, rather than actually being more concerned about the soul winning that person to Christ. And so Philip was more concerned about bringing Nathanael and says, doesn't get into an argument. And sometimes we find ourselves getting into arguments. He says, you come and see. And the same with Andrew. He could have said, you know, our brother Emil said, almost every single time it's Peter and Andrew, Peter and Andrew. There's one time, at least one time, where it's Andrew first. It's actually in this chapter. It says Andrew, verse 40, Simon Peter's brother. Andrew comes first. And I wonder if he looked at this opportunity saying, well, here's my chance. I'm always second. I'm always in second place. But here's my chance. I'm the one that found the Messiah. The Messiah was looking for me. Here's my chance to go and not tell Peter about this good news, but to keep it to myself and to let me get the, you know, get ahead of Peter. No. Again, he was concerned about the glory of the Lord, and he was more interested in bringing Peter than taking that place of, you know, of prominence. So again, I think it's another common thing that we see between these two individuals that were different, but had some common things in both of them.
And really, these two, we talk much about friendship and about being a brother. These two men showed the true characteristics of a loving brother and a loving friend. We have friends in this world who aren't saved. Well, if you're a friend to them, you're going to tell them about the Lord Jesus. And that's where the friendship has to start. And that's where it's going to be. If you have a friend who has no idea, take for instance that you're at a Bible conference today, or that you know the Lord Jesus is your Savior, then you're failing them as a friend. You're not a true friend. Andrew, as a brother, went and told his beloved brother. He went and told Peter. Peter's his brother. He loved Peter. He saw Peter every day. How could he not tell Peter? How could Philip not tell Nathanael? If you're going to call yourself someone's brother, and you're going to call yourself someone's friend, and if you know the Lord Jesus as Savior, that's where the relationship begins. It begins with you having to tell them. You have to share this one who changed your life for the better.